This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey. Call the cops.
This level of foolishness and joy.
Losers, in other words.
Hey. Now watch this drive.
Raiders!
Hey. Damn it.
Shisha.
Sicario.
Bruce fucking Springsteen.
Damn it. Hey.
Yeah, people
hey.
Are gonna die.
I yeah, baby.
I did not have sexual relations with that alien.
Nice. Is that Bill Clinton?
One of the supporting characters in the film.
Yeah.
That I watched.
Yeah, a huge character in the film.
Like pivotal.
Bigger than most.
Bigger than Rob Lowe.
Bigger than Rob Lowe. To my surprise, bigger than the Pope.
Bigger than Larry King. I almost said Larry David. But he is bigger than Larry David. Big RFK Jr. stan. Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And we're here to have good Christian fun.
Yay.
And of course, that was a clip of President William Jefferson Clinton from, it was actually a clip from his masterclass. It wasn't even from this movie.
Oh, it wasn't like a testimony or something.
No.
It was a masterclass.
Yeah, he was doing Q&A about every movie that he's ever been in. Like just anything that used footage of him. And he was being really candid and opening it up and talking about it. It was lovely.
I don't believe him.
You don't?
No.
Slick Willie?
Slick Willie, I think,
you
would be even slicker in space.
in space, no one can hear you slick. That's nasty. It's the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, the movies and the music and the entertainment made for, made by, sometimes made about Christians and Christianity and things and people of faith.
We're here at the intersection of media and faith.
We're at the intersection. We're having a conversation and a dialogue and a discourse of who we are and the things that made us who we are. What does it mean? And we're here to, in a way, make contact with our listeners each and every week. And isn't that lovely? But we're not here to make fun of you or to make you go to church. We're just here to have good Christian fun. And sometimes talk about movies that aren't shitty.
Yay.
And are fun.
That are long, though.
That are long. That's kind of the trade-off sometimes. It's either quality or length.
Uh-huh.
Everyone look forward to our episode on Martin Scorsese's Silence, a 3-hour-long epic about Jesuit missionaries.
Oh, yeah.
In China.
But it felt like 5.
Come on now. An early sneak peek.
Yeah, something about that didn't scream, gotta see that to me, you know?
You don't want to try Silence, no.
I wasn't running to the box office.
It would be funny if it was edited like Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, they should have made it more punchy.
Yeah, just like direct-to-camera addresses, a lot of 70s needle drops for the Jesuit priest. But not so. We're talking about a more austere, emotional movie, a movie about space and time and love starring Matthew McConaughey and about family and faith and things of that nature.
And Bill Clinton.
And Bill Clinton.
In the 90s.
And up until we said Bill Clinton, we could have been talking about Interstellar, but we're not.
Wow.
We're talking about Contact.
Yeah, I was shocked to see Matthew McConaughey in this movie. I didn't look it up before we started watching.
You were shocked?
I was shocked.
This is a jump scare, like, whoa!
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel like this is peak attractiveness for Mr. McConaughey?
No.
Okay, what would you say is peak? If there was like a movie, would it be First Magic Mike?
I think it's How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Okay, so 2003. Yeah. So not until 5 or 6 short years later.
Yeah, and I feel like that character he plays, like, it's just the right amount of his, like, swaggy thing he does, you know, while still actually being like a human being that you can hang out with.
Yeah, but he's kind of...
he just went way off.
He's a bit of a cad in that film.
Mm-hmm. He's a rake.
Yeah. Yeah, he's an old so-and-so.
Yeah.
I think it's time to introduce our special guest. Friends and folks, you may know him from an episode we did with him 5 or 6 years ago. He is a writer for the Miss Pat Show for Two Broke Girls. Give it the hell up for Patrick Walsh.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Patrick.
Hey, buddy.
Let me just pull up to that intersection of faith and media.
Yeah.
Toot, toot.
Beep, beep.
Oh, he's pulling up in his car.
Toot, toot.
Yeah.
It's a drive-in intersection. Yeah. You're going to park the car there.
Yeah.
My friend, comedian Morgan Murphy, has a great joke about how to lose a guy in 10 days.
What is
which
it?
Is, take a shit on the floor.
That would be less than 10 days, right?
Yeah, it's
quick.
Immediate.
I think that's a one and done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not great for the plot of the movie, but if you actually want to lose a guy, there are a few quicker ways to get
it done. Well, she should have been in the punch-up room for that movie.
But be honest, you guys, like, you had the date of your life. Like, you might think she is the one.
Yeah.
She takes one little shit in your floor.
I took one little shit. My mom got scared.
Don't you think you would, like, you'd give her a few more weeks just to be like, maybe that was
I've
anomaly.
Given women chances for much greater things.
Yeah.
Them chances is so funny.
Yeah.
Everyone should have a second chance after that.
In dating, what is continually, you know, long-term dating, if not an act of mercy every time, every new date is a renewal.
Yeah.
It's a redemption.
It's a story of faith.
At each corner. It is.
I've had girls say like, hey, do you want to do this again? And my response is, seriously? Like, this was a disaster. Like, I've had it many times.
That's a lonely feeling when it's like, we weren't both at the same place,
right?
Even though we were.
Yeah.
But you were here.
I was thinking about dying for the last hour and a half.
I was about to take a shit on the floor. Get out of here.
I was going to ask you for the drink money back at the end of the evening. I had such a bad time.
Just get a Venmo request.
The last text is, what's your Venmo? Yeah. The last interaction
hey, can
is
I get
a
that Venmo,
Venmo request.
Yeah. Request.
I wonder how many couples that's true of. Is the last interaction is something to do with Venmo, just squaring things away, like a security deposit when you move out, or some sort of drink settlement.
It's poetic, kind of.
I would be too much of a coward to ever ask for money.
To me, any couple that is Venmoing each other, there's a sell-by date on that relationship.
So Venmoing
at all.
And people
do it publicly, too. I'm like, you're asking your wife for $17 for lunch publicly? That's going to end badly.
I'm trying to think of what might, because I've never, if I was married to someone, I wouldn't. But anything before.
We're
You're 2 years in, I guess she'll,
what's 2 years?
I mean, on a date you pay, right?
Do I pay?
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because what if she reaches? You let her?
No, I will make a scene.
Or he, or
make
they.
A scene.
Yes. I'll make a scene and be like, no, put it on my card.
Okay.
That actually happened recently.
Yeah.
Where I was like, no, that like, well, it was a scenario in which they showed up before I did.
Uh-huh.
And so they had already opened up their whatever. And so like logistically, there was no way to do it. So I had to up in the whole operation to do it. In a flagrant, defiant gesture.
Force cash into her jean pocket.
It always says so much about the server, too, and how like quickly they'll be like, okay, yeah, I'll take your card, you know, versus like, well, I need to respect the wishes of this party as well.
Most waiters go directly to the guy.
Yeah.
They don't even look at the woman.
Yeah.
And that's the patriarchy, people. That and I'm sick of it.
I think that's also waiters having seen enough dates of like, he should probably pay.
That's true. That's true.
It's only fair.
A judgment call.
Pretty much. They see everything,
this
you know.
This poor woman's been through enough.
Yeah.
Oh, poor sweetie.
Wow. I was thinking, you know how like Frank Caliendo and these impressionist people will go like, so here's Al Pacino. And then all you got to do is this, and it's Christopher Walken, and, you know, like that kind of thing. I was
Caroline's husband.
I wasn't able to pull those impressions out in the nick of time. But
Christopher Walken.
I met him once, which I could tell you a story about later. But I was thinking that McConaughey and Clinton are probably an easy impression
segue.
Off to a good
yeah.
segue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you could just, I think, add a little rasp to McConaughey and you've got him.
Those are brother impressions.
It was like, all right, all right, all right. Or you go, all right, all right, all right. Just a little rasp.
Little rasp, but they're both in a Venn diagram of probably vocal fry.
Yeah.
Right? Whispery.
I'm going to see Little Rasp at the crypto.com.
They're still keeping the name, huh? Yeah.
Where my raspy's at?
He's opening for Lil Durk, Lil Baby, Da Baby, Baby Girl.
Da Baby. Yeah. Sweet Pea Pete's Sweet doing Pete's, the DJ yeah. set before.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be a sick lineup.
Sweet Pea Pea's. Problematic.
I haven't been to, well, of course. We all read the Twitter thread and all
Speaking
the allegations.
Of, what yeah. if the girl just took a sweet pee pee on the floor? Would you still dump her?
Mm, but that, what if, is she laughing?
Kevin would get
so
down
hard?
On one knee.
Hey, wait a minute.
Are you a piss pig, Kevin?
No, oh, I'm not.
Can you
a
say
piss
pig on good Christian fun?
No, I'm not a piss pig. I'm, okay. I promise I'm not a piss
oink,
pig.
Oink, no. Don't
no.
do it.
I'm a hog boy, but I'm not a piss pig.
What's a hog boy?
A hog boy is...
It's a hog boy.
A hog boy... Well, how would I define hog boy while called out in a public setting? I guess it's a boy who's not ashamed of his hog.
Right. Oh, and, okay. hog wire.
And has other boys who are also not ashamed of
is
their
hogs.
Is
that what it's about?
And they talk...
My husband's also a hog boy.
Yeah, he is.
That's
He absolutely
up.
Is.
Wow.
It's just being happy with your penis, is what you're saying?
I'm happy with my penis.
Yeah.
Well, look, sign me up.
Thumbs up.
I'm a damn hog boy.
We're going to add you to the chat.
Yeah.
Dexter's for sure a hog boy.
Yeah, yeah. He's very
secure.
Nothing
he's more proud of.
Yeah. And then, you know.
What's going on with this guy? Is he walk around with it out?
Licking it raw.
Oh, the dog. I thought you were talking about your husband.
Oh, so
I was like, licking it? No wonder he's proud of it.
Caroline's husband's name
even
is
need me
not
anymore.
Dexter. Yeah. I know. You've outgrown your purpose here.
Yeah.
No, that would be my dog, Dexter. But
yeah.
And it's nice, you know, everyone stays on theme. So if someone's having a medical procedure or going through surgery, instead of saying like, hey, could use some good vibes or prayers, they say like, send your oinks up, yeah. you know, things like that.
Yeah.
It's all.
Okay. You guys want to get some slop later?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're not into slop. That's a different thing. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, sloppy summer is a different thing.
Yeah.
For the hog boys. The hog boys don't participate in sloppy summer.
The pork,
man, I thought
the porter
I knew all
taxonomy.
The terms, but I'm
yeah.
Some stuff.
You got to yeah. keep up.
Sloppy summer is for the slob mob, which is a totally different operation.
Yeah.
And you cannot be married if you're in the slob mob.
The slob mob is exclusionary, in my opinion.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
All right, what's the slob mob?
I can't be in it.
Slob mob is...
Why, and
is
why like, is this the most R-rated
like groups
podcast
of Kevin's
I've ever been
pod friends.
Okay, all right.
This is like Kevin's group chats, basically, right?
Yeah, I'm just describing two group chats I'm in right now. But, you know, everyone has different dynamics,
yeah,
different
reputation.
Sort of ways that they behave from group chat to group chat. Patrick, I'm sure you're on a few.
I am.
One
I am.
Or two that yeah. you participate in every day. And
I do.
Everyone, you know.
Got me through the pandemic, my group chat.
Is that true?
Oh, for sure.
I think
piss
that's
pigs.
A, yeah.
The pickle pig boys.
Pickle juice kids.
Pickle juice yeah. kids.
yeah, for sure. No, I need to look up sloppy summer. I know sloppy seconds. Are they in the same ballpark?
Oh, yeah, but... It's not just seconds. It can be thirds, fourths.
Oh, you're
fifths,
talking about
sixth,
running a train.
Fourth meal?
Well, it could be.
In my day, we called it running a train on
running
a woman.
Running
a train.
Running, choo-choo.
Or a fella.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or but, they, them.
Or they, them.
Yes,
yes.
We're very inclusion.
We're running a train on them.
Well, I'll come right over.
All people. Wait, what's a group chat that started for you during the pandemic that was actually very meaningful? And even if it's like, it was probably just like
sure.
goofs and grins.
I have two of my best friends who introduced me to each other. They were really good friends.
Okay.
But we all became very great friends over joining forces. We were like, if we know each other, I think it was one thing. We were like, hey, do you want to play poker? Mm. And we were on the same group. But before you knew it, we were bearing our souls to each
Aww.
Other.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And that's a three-way friend group.
Yes. And we have to pull stuff out of the third one because he doesn't want to share. And we're like, look, we're not telling you everything that's going on in our life while you sit there
up,
and judge us.
Yeah, perfect.
You need to start revealing. And then he started revealing, and you know what? He's healthier, he's happier.
Oh,
and that's
gosh.
The power of the GC.
Yeah.
Parentheses,
yeah.
group chat, and parentheses.
It's like forced vulnerability. Compelled
force,
vulnerability.
Yeah, exactly.
The light.
I can relate to that. I feel like I've been in a... I'm in one with you, with one
yeah.
other gentleman, our
yeah.
friend Anthony. Where, you know, there's that problem does not exist for...
That one's mostly just about dating.
Yes. Yeah. And so the vulnerability issues do not exist. But I've certainly been in a few of them where there's the silent type. There's the one who is figuratively in the corner, not playing.
And I always picture that person showing my text to another group. Like, can you believe this idiot said that? Like, why are you sitting there so quiet?
Yeah, the nightmare.
Their
scenario.
Silence is always disapproval.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Not golden in this case.
No, not at all.
When I met Chris Walken.
Yeah, please.
Do the voice.
Well, I'll have to in a minute. But hey. I was the page at Conan, when Conan was on at 12:30. I'm older than you both. I'm sorry.
So this is when he was in the late night slot after Leno at the 30 Rockefeller in New York City.
Yeah. New York City, 30 Rock. I was an NBC page like Kenneth. And I would always be around, have to bring the celebrities up and down and stuff. I didn't like have much interaction, but some people would talk to me. And I would watch the exchanges between the first and second guest and the guest and the band. And sometimes they would be very awkward, as you can imagine. But this was Wilco standing in the lobby outside the elevators talking after their performance. And Christopher Walken comes out and in a tuxedo, and his wife, the casting director for The Sopranos, Georgianne Walken, is trying to tie his bow tie, and he keeps moving around. It was like watching somebody do it to a five-year-old, but he kept like wriggling away from her while she was tying his bow tie. And he goes, hey, I didn't get to see your song, but I wanted to ask a question.
And okay, this is good.
We're almost in the ballpark. We're in the parking lot.
I used to be able to do
Dodger
this
Stadium.
One. I only do impressions now. Like the other day, I did Pete Davidson, and it was flawless. But I had never even attempted it. That's when I'm good.
My gosh.
When I'm trying to do it, it's never as good. Mm-hmm. But he goes, I didn't get to hear you, but what I hear about bands, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that it's always the drummer who gets the girl. True or false?
True or false.
And they all look at the drummer and kind of laugh. And I don't know the drummer's name, but he's like, well, it hasn't been true in my experience. And they all give a polite chuckle, and including his wife. But Chris Walken does not laugh. He just keeps staring at him. And he goes, no, no, no. I've heard it said that the drummer always gets the girls. Kind of like nervously laughs. And he's like, yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, I don't do well with the ladies. And he's like, then why have I heard this? Why are you telling me? It was like a confrontation.
Yeah. Wild.
About it.
And his research.
He didn't pick up on the joke. You know, it was like, he's as weird as you want him to be.
Just
it was
pushing
very strange.
Straight through.
And that was, you know, maybe your first brush with the elderly experiencing misinformation.
Yeah, that's true.
In a big scale way.
Sad. That's true.
I'm like, I heard the COVID vaccine has aborted fetal tissue in it.
Hey.
Things like that. Hey.
Wow.
Up his ass. I can't do it
up
anymore.
Up his ass.
We need to get Kevin Pollak in to tell the story.
Oh, gosh. And you know he's a podcast host.
Yeah,
he
hey, me
loves
too.
Hosting.
Who What's isn't that? These days?
Yeah, you go. Oh yeah, I didn't shout out your podcast.
Oh, I figured we'd get there.
I'll see you in hell.
We'll see you in hell. Thanks for listening.
Oh Jesus Christ, I do listen.
Well, we're Patreon only. I'd know if you listen because you'd be paying us.
Wait, but I've listened before in the
past. That's true.
You didn't used to be Patreon only.
What studio are you guys with?
Oh, we're with the HeadGum Network.
I used to be with them.
Really? What happened?
You really want to know?
Nope.
No, I just asked him one day. I was like, I think we have a lot more listeners than you're letting on, and I'd like to see a record of who's listening to our show. And they wouldn't show us, and so we went Patreon only. But I love Amir. I love those guys.
Huh. They wouldn't. They pulled a Netflix on you?
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
And it wasn't chill.
Well, that's not chill. No. Netflix and not chill.
Yeah. Well, that was our experience. It's me and my friend Joe DeRosa, but our experience with each of those, each podcast network was we'd go, hey, can we just find out how many people are listening and stop taking your word for it? And they would say no, and then we would leave.
Shady.
That feels right, you know.
Yeah.
Power to the people. Everyone, you know.
Yeah.
And you have your own channel now.
Patreon. Well, yeah, you go to Patreon, you know exactly how many people listen.
Yeah.
We learned that it was way more than we were being told.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Wow.
And so this is
and
a
that's
lesson
people
for
that were paying to join. So
these are
probably
yeah.
like even more than that.
Exactly.
Wow.
In fact, we were right below Joe Rogan.
second to Joe
that's
Rogan.
That's incredible.
We were
numbers,
making
man.
HeadGum at literally billions of dollars.
That's, wow. Oh, that's why they got the espresso machine.
Craven.
In the
yes. Oh, yeah. Off your back breaking work.
I see.
What's
that.
The other big one? Call Her Daddy?
Call Her Daddy, Daddy is a, well, it's not a HeadGum. That is a Spotify exclusive.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you know how many years it's been since you've been on the show?
When you said 5 or 6, that seemed short to me.
Yeah, it was 5. It was January of 2018.
January 5th, my birthday?
January 17th is when the episode came out. So it was probably right around your birthday.
What a better time in my life that was.
Than now? Yeah. Are you doing the A to B compared? That's
no,
the thing.
No, I'm just like
you...
January 2018, I was sitting on top of the world,
eating
Brandy
sugar.
Style.
It was a it was President Trump era. Yeah, things were going great for guys that look like us.
Were the good times for you guys.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
The boys.
It was our 20th episode we ever did. This is our 285th episode that we've done.
Well, thanks for getting me back so quick.
No problem.
We did have a conversation before of like, did we have him on Zoom?
No.
In the intervening time?
No. A lot of those were a little blurry.
You're booked and busy. According to your letterbox, you're very booked and busy all the time.
You mean you consider watching movies me being booked?
That is a schedule.
I would consider that the opposite of
that's
being
an itinerary.
Booked. Yeah. No, I actually when I really, because they total up how many you watch yearly on Letterboxd.
Oh, yeah. They kind of shame you at the end of the year.
During that pandemic, the first year when it came up, I was like, maybe I ought to just end it. Like, this is not a life.
Is it more than 365?
Yeah. Yep.
Whoa.
When your average is more than one a day, that's when you start asking some questions. I think.
Well, there wasn't much to do.
There wasn't much to do. I don't fault you for that.
But I remember during the pandemic, I ended up bringing you a little bag of cookies. We had a very brief conversation. Not even where, because usually I would do that for friends and drop the baggie off and be on the porch and then like wave to them from 6 feet away or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And this was kind of late at night, which is my bad. And I dropped it off and then you got it. And then we talked through a fence, like Home Improvement style.
Oh my gosh.
For like 2 minutes.
Well, I should have invited you in, but you never know how freaked out everybody is.
No, and I was freaked out. Pre-vax time, I was freaked out.
Yeah.
And I was in a bubble with someone who was seeing their parents, so I couldn't fuck around with it.
Right.
But I just remember the melancholy of that conversation of two broken men looking for a connection.
Through the fence.
This border wall between you two.
Yeah, that's true.
And
that's
how do we break these walls down?
Mm. Well, we've done it now.
I think so.
I still see, let's say, every movie I go to, every store I go to, at least 3 people in masks in Los Angeles. Does anyone in America have COVID currently? Anyone?
Well, we're not counting if they do anymore, but yes, of course they do.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. All right. I didn't know. Like, no one has told me they had
it. You thought
it
was eradicated?
It's gone.
I mean, it's not reported.
Right. That's why it feels
you never hear anybody say, oh, my aunt even got it, or somebody on the fringes of society, you know?
Yeah, aunts being the foremost people group on the fringes of society.
Exactly.
I always know what's up. They're connected.
So, but what are the numbers now? Are we down to like 100 cases?
Yeah, okay. Worldwide.
Worldwide 100? Mm-hmm. Then put the masks down.
No, here's my argument for it from people I know who travel a lot, is if you wear it in airplanes and airports and whatnot, people who usually get the flu every year never get it now.
Yeah.
In the sense of like, oh, or my cold or my allergies are significantly better.
Yeah.
So now it's not even just like a COVID thing. I think for some people, it's like
I don't want to get sick in general.
I got used to this and I don't want to get sick in general.
I hear that. But how could you want to put that back on?
So these
I was
sort
at
of...
Costco yesterday, not to brag.
Yeah.
I got rear end. So you know how the carts are bigger than the aisles?
Yeah.
They're massive.
It's
Costco where the carts are bigger than the aisles.
I have come so far in terms of like managing myself and breathing and my temper. I never had like a bad temper per se, but just like just keeping myself calm, you know, in times where I used to get like really annoyed and aggravated. And Costco puts me in the red every time. Immediately. When I walk in the doors, it's madness every time.
It is like enraging being in there.
Well, I got rear-ended by this woman, meaning she ran into me. It seemed as though she was running with her cart and ran into my lower back.
Damn.
Just like crash. And I turn around. It's an old woman in a mask. And I'm just looking at her like, where is the apology? She was staring at me. No apology, no nothing.
Hit
just like,
hard, right
are you
going to
move? And then I realized that I think she did it intentionally.
She said, are you going to move?
No.
Oh, she was looking at you.
She was
like
looking
that.
At me like,
so
are you
going
to
move? She was like giving you a bump, like, get the fuck out of my
exactly.
way.
Exactly.
I've got to crank through Costco right now.
And by the, it's not like I had stopped in the middle of the aisle to look at some pistachios or something.
You
I was
were
moving.
Shopping.
Yes.
Can I tell you my cranky shopping thing that happens a lot to me?
I'd love nothing more.
Thank you. So I like to put my cart at the end cap of the aisle.
Yeah.
With my big heavy ass bag that I carry around. I leave it there. I peruse the aisle. I come back to my cart.
Yes.
I do that move.
I think about half the time there will be a white woman that comes out of nowhere and says, hey, just keep an eye on your bag, you know, just in case, you know, you just never know. You should really keep an eye on your bag.
Yeah.
And they always say it like they're being helpful to me, you know?
Yeah.
And it makes me, it gives me like full blood rage, you know, when people do that to me.
Yeah. No,
and
I get
so
that.
I've started saying whenever a woman comes and does that to me, I start saying, were you going to take it?
You've started, you for real will say this. This isn't like a dream of what you would say.
Yeah, because it's happened enough that I've been able to like prepare now.
And how do they react to that?
And then they go, they get really upset, obviously.
They're like, I was just trying to be nice.
Yeah, that's exactly what they say. They're like, well, I was just trying to help out and be nice. And I was like, thank you. It's my bag. I'm aware of where it is.
The one time I spoke in Costco yesterday when I kind of lost it a little bit. And there were many opportunities. I don't know how people aren't brutally murdered at Costco.
Well.
Brutally. But I turned around the corner. There was, you know, everything at Costco is 4 pounds of whatever you're getting. So there was 4 pounds of blueberries on the floor, which looks on a white floor, it's noticeable. Just like tons and tons of blueberries. Mm-hmm. I pull in to get something out of the first part of the aisle. But the aisles go like 40 feet. So I start walking and I see this woman who has been yelling at various people because she must have spilled the blueberries. So she's stopping, you know, like standing guard or something. So I pull into the aisle to get what I need and I know she's going to do it. And that's, it was knowing she was going to do it that bothered me too.
Yeah.
But she's like, sir, 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 sir. And then finally I was like, yes. And she goes, well, I want to make sure that you see the blueberries. I want to make sure that, I go, I see the blueberries. She goes, well, then why are you going into the aisle? Like, I'm not going all the way to the blueberries. And I was so mad for having to even say that and take time out of my day. Like, I see them.
Yeah. I stopped before I got to them.
Right. Exactly.
Chill out.
By the way, if I didn't, the first time my foot came down and I was splashed with blueberry, I would realize that something was amiss.
I really don't
I've been around.
Want anyone to talk to me at the grocery store.
They shouldn't be talking to you.
Unless it's some baddie in a Hawaiian shirt at the register.
Some baddie?
Giving me the old
so-and-so. Oh, Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
It gets hot.
They're picking up what Papa's laying down?
Oh, yeah. DJs, there's...
Now, you don't think just when they tell you, oh, I like that product, you don't think, consider
that
flirting.
They're trying to connect with me when they do that. They're trying to connect with me.
You shouldn't go to strip clubs then, clearly.
Wait.
It's really the same principle. They want you to buy products and things.
Wow, I've never thought about
that. They'll give me a deal because they like me so much.
The last time you were on the show, we talked about a movie called Prince of Egypt.
Oh.
Which we both really enjoyed.
This is controversial.
And you were not into in the slightest.
Didn't like it in theaters.
It did not charm you.
Didn't like it at home.
Shocking. Is it an animation thing? Do you have a block with certain...
I tend to not be big on animation because I'm an adult and I don't have kids, you know? So it just doesn't
interest
me.
Boo to that opinion.
You know who
I like the Ten Commandments.
You know who would take issue with you saying that? Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, he would.
He loves animation. And he said, I'm not making any more live-action movies for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I'm only going to do animation, and animation is for adults.
Pinocchio. They said, hey, Guillermo, there's already 4 Pinocchio movies this year.
One more.
Uno más.
I recently heard that Guillermo del Toro's last 3 projects he has taken out to sell to the streamers have not sold.
That's what,
is terrifying.
That was all part of the same interview.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Yeah.
And to tie it back to our subject today, Contact, directed by Robert Zemeckis, who also directed a Pinocchio adaptation.
Pinocchio! He directed the other one.
What's
Wait,
that?
No.
No, that was Spielberg. Peter Pan. No, so he did a direct-to-Disney Plus adaptation of Pinocchio, in which
I heard that one was god awful.
Tom Hanks plays Geppetto.
Oh yeah. Yeah, what happened?
There is a scene in which Pinocchio sees shit on the ground, and he goes up to smell it, and then he goes all cross-eyed, like, ugh, I don't like the smell of this shit. And that same man who made
and
that
then
movie.
And his nose grows because he actually loves the smell of shit. And it goes into the pile of shit.
And he's like, a shit
oh,
piggy.
I hate this.
Oh, I actually don't like. I'm not turned off. I'm
more and more.
Geppetto's into it too. Their eyes lock. You realize why he made this boy, and the movie gets really fucked up.
I've only seen like 20 minutes of it, just out of morbid curiosity. I can't even recommend on that. I mean, the man who made Back to the Future.
He lost it harder than almost anyone else.
I think so in
a
way.
Did you see The Witches?
No. There's the Anne Hathaway one that was direct on Max a few years ago that you can no longer stream on Max.
They burned it.
Yeah, they sure did.
Burn this. Terrible. Terrible film.
How old is this man now?
Zemecki? Oh, he's got to be in his...
Late 90s?
Yeah, in his late 90s. He's 71
Eastwood
years
era.
Old.
He made such energetic, exciting... Like, Back to the Future is a perfect movie.
Did you say Black to the Future?
I did. I only liked the Black
what
version.
We wish
no,
for.
It was a mistake. But, yeah, I don't know what happened. I like What Lies Beneath. I think that maybe may have been his last good one, but it wasn't great.
That one was fun. You remember that? The thriller with Harrison Ford and Michelle Pfeiffer. Bathtub scene.
Yeah.
She's got the chloroform. Ooh, yeah. It's good.
It's a good movie.
It's a nice little Hitchcockian something something.
Welcome to Marwen. That's about as bad as it gets with Steve Carell.
What about The Walk with Joseph Gordon-Levitt as the Frenchman who walk across the World Trade Center?
Not bad from an effects standpoint. Mm-hmm. But he also did, he specialized throughout the 80s in big blockbuster special effects movies that were also very funny and well-written and everything. Who Framed Roger Rabbit? That movie is like 1,000 times better than it needed to be.
That's an unimpeachably good movie.
Usually when a movie is advancing things in special effects, everything else is bad, like Avatar. Mm. It's like, okay, this looks amazing, everything else we'll give a pass. But Who Framed Roger Rabbit has an amazing script and it's an amazing technical
animated movie.
He makes me laugh. Death Becomes Her.
Love it.
Terrific. Very
funny.
You seen it?
Mm-hmm.
And then Gump. Is Gump what ruins him?
Forrest
Gump.
I loved it at the time. Obviously, everyone hates it now, like American Beauty. And I don't know. I don't know if it would hold up. It clearly gave him a love of inserting presidents into movies.
That's the thing.
That continues through Contact.
They're American movies is what he makes.
Yes.
Did Robert, this was going to be one of my questions, is did Zemeckis... Was he the kind of forebearer of deepfakes and misinformation, manipulating footage of famous people?
What do they call that? Franken editing or something?
Yeah. Well, there's Frankenbites, where you can like
Frankenbites.
Like usually it's audio speech or you cut something together where Bill Clinton says, love, sexual relation, or whatever.
And then there's Frankenbites, which is Al Franken's restaurant.
Oh, God.
In D.C.
And he gives you a big old squeeze when you come in.
Come on in. Bear hugs for all my faves.
And then, Gump. Contact is right after. This movie is his follow-up to Gump. Is okay. Contact.
Hotly awaited.
And then it goes What Lies Beneath and Castaway the same year.
Castaway's awesome.
Castaway's the last one.
When you look at Castaway, when you grow up and you look at Castaway as a metaphor for loneliness, that movie gets pretty
A metaphor bad. For Patrick Walsh's last 3 years.
That movie gets
Castaway,
pretty
I don't think, isn't a metaphor.
It's a metaphor for just, friendship.
Well, I don't
him
know.
And Wilson?
I never looked too deep when I watched movies back then.
Oh,
and
man.
Now, you know, now
that
things
is
hit
a good
me
movie.
On a different level.
Actually, you know what it is? Here's the inflection point where it all goes south. The Polar Express.
Oh, God, that
the
sucked.
Polar Express in 2004.
Remember the Hot Chocolate number? It's like a 6-minute song about how good hot chocolate tastes.
Well,
and he brought Tom into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tom still rides for him. He was in fucking Pinocchio.
Yeah.
For reasons passing understanding.
Tom's picker is broken.
And then he goes Polar Express, Beowulf.
Beowulf was unwatchable.
Where they tricked Angelina Jolie into being nude in the movie in a way that's like profoundly not good.
Her?
Because it's an all CGI movie, And they did like a body scan of her. And she was like, am I going to be nude in this movie? They're like, no. And then movie comes out, she's nude in it. And it's PG-13 nude. So it's like shadows and whatnot, oh but very inappropriate.
Ew, PG-13 nude is usually you see a boob from behind.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually like Tommy Boy.
How do you see
Boy.
A boob from behind?
You get a woman with big boobs and you shoot her from behind.
All right, never mind.
You shoot her like bending
save
her
for
over
the
to slop put her
chat or whatever. Good Lord.
Tommy Boy is a good example, you know, or Christmas Vacation.
Sure.
These are examples.
And the examples go on from there. Yeah. A Christmas Carol, Flight. Any Flight defenders?
Christmas Carol is awful.
Yeah.
The Jim Carrey.
The Jim Carrey one where he plays all the roles. That came out in 2009.
The first 15 minutes of Flight are incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Then it gets stupid, but it's still Denzel and it's fun. The John Goodman character is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But the movie's pretty fun, I thought.
Flight I've never seen. The Walk with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Fine.
And Ben Schwartz. Welcome to Marwen.
Awful.
Or actually, excuse me, F-. After the Walk is Allied. This is the spy
Allied
movie.
Was cool.
This is old 9/11 girly. What's her name? Not Isabella Rossellini, the other one.
9/11 girl?
Yeah, she's a 9/11 truther. It's Brad Pitt, and she's dead wife in
Rachel
Inception.
Weiss?
Dead wife in Inception.
Is Rachel Weisz a 9/11 truther?
I didn't think so, but I thought she was an ally.
No, excuse me, I'm sorry. Her name is Marion Cotillard.
Marion Cotillard.
Marion Cotillard?
She's deep in her conspiracy theory bag. Yeah,
she
real.
Thinks it was, what, not real?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wow.
Welcome to Marwen, The Witches, Pinocchio.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
And Welcome to Marwen is the story... Is the story that Steve Carell plays with the dolls and they like actually come to life, or is that like his fantasy?
It's based
life?
On a very good documentary called Marwen Call about a guy who is troubled who like retires to his dolls. You
yeah.
know, like he
like just lives with them.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the movie, yeah. In the movie, then it's like dolls act out the fantasies and stuff, but it's really stupid.
Okay.
And bad.
So it's still, but the dolls are alive in his fantasy life.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Not in like the artifice of the movie.
Right.
Okay. That was important to me. And I never really figured that out from the trailer.
You weren't sure if it was like Toy Story, but live action
yeah.
kind of?
I wasn't sure if it was like a magical realism movie,
yeah.
you know, or.
That, they never made that clear enough in the trailer, probably
no,
because
they
realized if they told people they would not go and they didn't
right.
go anywhere.
Now, our friends over at the Blank Check podcast have talked about this a lot, but Zemeckis generally is a pretty horny director. Like a lot of his stuff is suffused with weird
behind
sexuality,
boobs.
Behind boobs, bunch of
front boobs, low boobs.
Well, like his early
over
stuff
the boob
was,
shot. Yeah,
his early stuff was used cars
shot.
And Jessica Rabbit. That.
I mean, a horny Hall of Fame icon, right?
Jessica Rabbit picked my 9-year-old self up and threw me into puberty. Just
she
hurled
said,
me.
Grow
into
the
puberty.
Fuck up. Time to be a man.
I was sitting next to my grandma and I was like, something's got to give here.
Oh, Jesus.
Granny's got to leave.
Oh, my God.
Something's got to give. A PG-13 movie with some full frontal nudity. Diane Keaton, you see.
Very cool,
oh, yeah.
Kev.
Yeah. Just wanted to.
Very cool.
Kind of.
Nice.
But no hard feelings brings back full frontal nudity.
Is that true?
J-Law.
What?
Saw it the other night. Shocking.
That is shocking.
For like a minute and
no,
a half.
No, that movie's rated R. That's not PG-13.
No, it's R. You're right. Yeah. But yeah. I'm just saying, even in R movies,
it's back.
Sex is gone.
Mm-hmm.
But this was back.
Well, this is a Gen Z conversation, too, because Gen Z doesn't like sex scenes now.
They don't seem to like sex.
Yeah. And there's a lot of.
And I've tried.
All right,
folks,
Patrick. Come
wait,
on.
What is Gen Z? Are they legal?
Teens.
No.
Oh, okay. Then I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
But there's a lot of discourse on Twitter of like, there's even threads of, if I see a sex scene in a movie, I haven't consented to watch
yeah.
it. So I shouldn't, it shouldn't exist in movies. There's a lot of
what?
Very goofy and disparate
yes.
sort of threads about this sort of thing. Concurrent with this conversation of like.
Should actors kiss?
Should actors
like the guy
kiss?
On you and
let's
stuff.
Ask Kirk Cameron.
And
let's,
what's gonna start happening is that people who are married to actors are going to start, and actresses. Are going to start saying, honey, he does it. He won't kiss his co-star. Mm-hmm. So what do you need to kiss her? Do you like it's going to break up marriages for sure.
Yeah, for your art. Wait, who was recently like, I'm not kissing anymore? Oh, Penn Badgley.
Well, no, he it wasn't
the guy
kissing.
From you. That's what
he
I'm
didn't
saying.
Say kissing.
Oh, you were saying that. I'm sorry.
He,
okay.
did, no, no, he, yeah. he didn't say kissing, though. He said sex scenes.
Sex scenes.
Yeah.
I don't think he's kissing either.
Kissing is
he
sex.
Said no kiss. Wait, what? Yeah, mouth sex is kissing. We all know that. Something's touching something else.
Exactly.
Yeah. First base, a handshake.
Yeah.
Second base is a hug.
I don't define yeah. it.
Bro, I got to second
third
base,
base a
the
long
other night.
Hug where you really feel
it. I got to second base with you tonight.
That's true.
Wow.
Loved it.
Gracious. Well, we could talk about this all night, but we should probably take a break and then talk about this not horny, maybe his least horny movie he's ever made.
I would third. Say one of the least sexy movies in the history
based.
Of time.
Based.
So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time to dive into the topic. Come on! Contact came out in 1997, like we said before, the follow-up to Forrest Gump. And it's good that he didn't, you know, just try to do the same thing over. Some directors are just like, I'm just going to keep hitting
Gump
these same.
Gump twice.
Yeah. Gump 2, which they did try to make.
Gump
for
and
a long
Dump.
Time.
For
yeah.
a long time. But then
Gump and Gumper.
Gump 2?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gump
was,
and Gumper.
They, well, they wrote the sequel book.
And in the sequel book is?
It's 9/11,
it's
right?
It's 9/11.
Yeah.
Gump Jr.?
Gump's no. at 9/11.
Gump goes like, to 9/11?
No, yeah. Truly in the
a
book.
A second plane hit the tower.
While all those people running.
Yeah.
I it know how to run.
Is the Pentagon okay?
Yeah. Is it like me? Yeah.
Mr. President.
Is the Pentagon like me?
Oh, no.
Gracious. No. Ooh, but this is a... This would just be the saddest way. Forrest Gump at January 6th. Forrest
yeah.
Gump.
Well, you know he'd be at January 6th.
but on accident. He
like
went
the this crazy looking painted guy walked by me.
They were having
with a podium. Yeah.
Forrest Gump at the Oscars mix up.
Yeah.
I told Chris Rock he had something on his face.
Forrest Gump at the slap.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But this is a movie based on a novel by Carl Sagan from 1985.
Contact.
Yeah. It stars Jodie. You're still thinking
about Gump and Gumper.
Yeah, I wish. Yeah. Carl Sagan wrote Forrest Gump too. That'd be sick.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
That'd be really good. Do you need a minute? The Pentagon like me. Haley Joel Osment's all grown up. They can do an AI story based on that.
Yeah.
But it's about it's about making contact. It's so Interstellar core. It's so funny how so much of this feels similar.
Clearly, this was an important movie, I would say, to old Nolan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Daddy daughter space.
Mm-hmm. Daddy daughter space.
How many
space?
Movies like that are there too?
McConaughey. At Daddy least. Daughter space McConaughey.
Daddy daughter space McConaughey.
Man, person, camera, woman, television, whatever the fuck.
They are, and I always try to decide, is it just because I know now that Jodie Foster is gay, that these two had no sparks. But I remember in the theater sitting there going like, do these two even know each other? Like, I have never seen people with less chemistry in my life. And their kissing is bad. Everything is bad.
It looked like they just met before every scene. Like, they're like Matthew, shaking hands.
Exactly.
And then they have to jump into bed or
get set. She's got memento or something. Like, she doesn't remember each time she meets him.
Yeah, when she sees him, you know, when they like reunite after years, she's just like, I don't know. Like, she saw a donut store she likes a lot.
Yeah.
You know? It's just like, it's still great. Open. Awesome.
Wait, what's the difference? Speaking of impressions, what's the difference between a Jodie Foster and a Holly Hunter?
What's the difference between a Jodie Foster and a Holly Hunter?
You heard about this, folks?
I strongly prefer Hunter. Hunter's a little more Southern.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter was definitely, I think she was the first choice for Silence of the Lambs, but.
Really?
Silence of the Lambs.
Silence of the Lambs. Could the lambs please be quiet?
Shut those lambs up.
Then she got her own Silence of the Lambs because she regretted not doing it. So her and Sigourney Weaver were in Copycat, which is great, where Harry Connick Jr. is your Hannibal Lecter.
Oh.
So they're actually a really good movie.
I've never seen this. I need to do a little Hunter spin.
Hunter Hunt.
A little Hunter Hunt. I will say Mr. Mayor, which was a flawed but pretty good show, pretty funny show. That
didn't
was on
see
for
it.
Two
I had a friend
seasons.
That wrote for it. Didn't see it.
She was unbelievable on that show. I'll never stop saying that. She was revelatory on that show in a way where I was like, oh, you're funny. You're not like movie star does TV funny.
I think in Raising Arizona, I know we're not supposed to divide things, but that's the funniest female performances ever, I think, is her in
ever.
Raising Arizona. For me.
Oh, no, I agree.
Yeah.
I love it.
You agree?
I agree.
You would have said it even if I didn't say it.
Yeah, I think
wow.
I would
have.
There you go.
Ever.
Now, imagine Holly That's Hunter making bitch. Contact in this one. Because she is, she's a little more Southern, whereas Jodie Foster is a little more forceful.
Yeah.
And like, and maybe because...
Should have Shanta Powit. Is that from this movie?
Should have Shanta Powit.
Should have Shanta
Powit. Was like, that's a quote from something famous.
Right? Yeah, I thought so. But then I was like, is this from Contact?
I didn't look it up, but I don't think it's from Contact. I think it was an actual other astronaut or something that said that.
Okay. That scene where she's first seeing space, honestly, I laughed. And I know that's supposed to be the big kind of dramatic climax.
Sure.
All right.
I just thought she played that a little ridiculously.
Okay. We're going to have another Prince of Egypt night here.
Oh,
okay.
No.
All right.
I think we're basically aligned on the movie, though, right?
I thought it was awesome. I really like her performance in this a lot.
Jodie?
I gotta say. But fair enough.
I like her a lot. I have a softness for Holly. I should not say that ever.
I have a soft one for Holly.
Okay.
Did they at one point?
What a treat!
You know when they kept
DMs are open.
When they kept distorting her face, you know.
Yeah.
Did they at some point superimpose her taxi driver face or like her young
whoa
face?
Or I thought that was Jenna Malone's face.
Okay. Because I was like, just for a moment, I thought because there's so much footage of her as a little girl that they just started using her old stuff.
Yeah. They should have just done that instead of casting Jenna Malone.
And they had to digitally change her icon or Jenna Malone.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, really?
I read that on Wikipedia or something.
They couldn't do contacts? We all got excited.
That's the
She said contact. Yay.
That'll be the next sequel, like Aliens, Contacts.
Prescription.
Forrest Gumps.
What about like Contact High, and it's like Harold and Kumar and Jodie Foster.
Okay,
go to NASA, and they're like on a road trip in Houston.
Yeah.
I grew up in Houston. I only went to NASA once. Why is that?
I only went to NASA once. Did you go for... I was going to say school, but you weren't that school.
No, I wasn't in school.
Astronaut school?
I was homeschooled, famously.
But
the broad strokes of this movie, plot-wise, by the way, Jodie Foster is a scientist. She's out there toiling at the satellites that she has to sit next to for some reason to hear stuff.
Yeah, she's like the joke of the satellite guys because she's trying to contact with extraterrestrials. Because
she's got dead daddy stuff. Her father tragically passes away at a young age when she could have saved him. And this is where the this is why this is qualifiable for this podcast, where we don't usually talk about movies like this.
Yeah.
Her dad dies, and the priest who comes says, maybe it was God's will. What does he say? He was like, it might have been God's
will. Like, sometimes we have to accept that this is God's will or something. Yeah.
And from then on, she's like, well, I fucking hate God's will. Yeah. I'm a science person.
Right. Oh, that's why.
I think that's part of
she's
it,
like
right?
Atheist.
And the way she's at the CB radio.
Yes.
Kind of like that Frequency movie starring Dennis Quaid and Jesus Christ from the year 2000.
I like Frequency.
Mm-hmm.
It is kind of amazing that they even allowed this movie to happen.
I think it's, the guy who made Forrest Gump wants to make another movie, whatever
exactly.
You want. I think it's
But,
that.
Like, it's PG, you know, so like, or PG-13.
It's a soft PG.
Right. So it's like, who cares?
Got one of those for you, Holly, too.
Holly, I got a soft PG for you.
Penis gift? It's like...
I wrapped it.
It's my soft dick in a box. Gift.
Stocking stuffer.
Oh.
Can't stuff it all the way. All right.
Oh man.
It is a soft PG, correct. And everybody, it claims that 90% of people believe in God. I don't know if that's still true or if it's even true.
95%. I was like,
that can't be true.
That's a broad definition.
But you know, it was certainly a more faith-based time or whatever, but you never saw religion discussed. Now I attempted to do a sitcom about religion, and I wanted to make...
By the Book on CBS.
Changed its name, but yes. You saw it, you came to the pilot tape.
I sure did.
And you probably thought it was going to be a hit. Well, you were wrong, Kevin. The tapings went great, but something went wrong.
Oh, no.
But,
Because of Krumholtz, wasn't it?
It was because of Krumholtz. But he's an Oppenheimer by the maker of Interstellar. He bounced back.
Wow.
The whole thing was going to be... it was supposed to be a single-camera show as pitched, but it was going to be... Jay Ferguson as a guy who's trying to live his life by the Bible. Mm-hmm. And then his wife, I was like, she's an atheist and a scientist. Not
here,
based
let's adjust
on...
that mic a little bit closer to your mouth.
Here it is.
You can
but,
bring it down.
You know, CBS, who we're fine to work with. Thank you.
Just wanted to give you your pillow back.
I appreciate it.
Didn't mean to do so much choreography.
It was
for this
I
moment.
Thought you were having an issue.
Pillow gift.
But
okay.
The problem was the audience hated, not any fault of the wonderful and very funny actress, but they hated the fact that his wife did not believe in God. And they were every conversation on the show was about, you know, science versus religion. And I was like, what's something that we haven't seen on television, which is that. And it was always a problem. They were like, people do not like her, and it's not her fault. It is because she is telling him that religion is dumb.
Do you think that's a CBS demo thing?
1,000,000%, yes. Yeah. But that's where we were doing it, unfortunately. Right. So I'm like, I can't make her also love religion because then there's no conflict to the show. So it was a struggle from the jump because then when they were testing it, they were like, that's the problem. They don't like her. And Contact to be made in 1997 or whatever is pretty amazing.
That it would make it so explicit.
That many, like, to have your lead be anti-religion.
Yeah, well.
Then they were wondering why she didn't get nominated, and through looking at the trivia and IMDb trivia and stuff, the assumption was because she was playing somebody who didn't believe in God.
But to me, the thing I push back on, though, is like, is the arc kind of at the end of the day, she's like, well, maybe God is real, you know? Because she has such a...
I think that's the arc at the end, yes.
Profound catharsis that it's like... Because the first time I watched it, this was a mid-lockdown watch that we did over FaceTime with a group of us friends.
Yeah.
Because one of them was really into it. And I was, you know, kind of paying attention. But it felt down... The climax of the movie felt downright evangelical.
Yeah.
In some ways. It felt like faith-based entertainment in the sense of...
Yeah.
It set up that... Part of the plot is Matthew McConaughey plays a character named Palmer Joss, who is a man of the cloth minus the cloth. He's like hot priest, 1997 edition. he's a Christian who fucks. And they hook up when they first meet each other. And one of the steamiest scenes ever committed to film. It's
about, you know, as steamy as the Tom Cruise, Jennifer Connelly scene in Top Gun Maverick.
Where he's just kind of...
You can tell he's like really feeling it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like sex. Sex is good.
He loves sex.
Yeah.
You guys getting this? My shirt's off. So yeah. Probably just had sex.
Blockbuster would report like VHS copies of Contact would always break at that scene where they're holding each other.
Where you see a glimpse of her shoulder. Yeah.
Uh-huh. People would just keep rewinding over and over again.
Yeah.
So they set up sort of that dynamic of a man of faith, a woman of science. How are they going to blah, blah, blah. And then 4 years pass. Her, you know, little horse... Dog, what am I saying? Dog and pony show? When something's
her horse and dog show.
Her horse, her
horse and buggy.
Her donkey show. They shut down.
Her Amish donkey show.
They shut it down. And then she gets funding from a mysterious benefactor at some place. She's lobbying all these
Dr. Evil.
Yeah. For like $2 billion or whatever. And then they start up again, cuts to 4 years later. Then they do make contact with something.
Yes.
That gives them ultimately a schematic. And then Tom Skerritt, one of the antagonistic forces in the movie, is like, actually, I'm responsible for this.
Yeah.
And then Angela Bassett in a role that's so similar to her role in the Mission Impossible franchise as a sort of government, you know, to-do person. Mm-hmm.
And
Angela Bassett's not in the Mission Impossible movie.
She sure is. She is in Fallout.
Oh, that's the one I haven't rewatched. I've just rewatched the other ones, yeah.
Can we just say in this movie she did the thing?
Yeah, to be clear, I think we all agree in Contact, Angela Bassett did the thing.
See, to me, and I like the movie too, by the way. I'm not shitting on it.
Okay.
But my issue with the movie is that I think for having all these great character actors in supporting roles, they're just, the parts are very underwritten.
You didn't appreciate... Rob Lowe's heat check as a foghorn, leghorn, fucking RNC.
The voice.
Did not like what Rob Lowe was bringing to the table.
I did not like at all.
No.
But also kind of
playing himself.
Prescient. Yeah, that he was cast in that role.
Well, the only person I like was William Fichtner, who's always a great character actor. And Jodie Foster has way more chemistry with him.
Oh, yeah.
Way more.
They love each other.
Is he the blind man?
Yes.
Yeah.
She lights up whenever he's
that
on screen.
That was really sweet. Yeah, I liked
exactly.
them together. Mm-hmm.
William Fichtner.
He's hilarious in the movie Go. Which I highly recommend.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great movie.
I was wondering if he probably auditioned for Matthew McConaughey's part.
Probably, yes.
Because he also is hot.
Yeah.
He's a good-looking man.
Very good-looking.
Well, I thought he was going to be the love interest, and then McConaughey came in, and I was like, well, that's over.
No, McConaughey's actually the smart guy in this movie.
Yeah, rare.
Yeah. It's interesting because, like, I think you're right. On some level, it is flat. Around Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
But Jodie Foster is so wonderful, I think. Like,
very
her
compelling.
Character.
She is great.
And I think, like, well, one, her face is just, like, exquisite to look at, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's wonderful. But also, I was thinking about how often I've seen a, like, smart woman in a movie or a TV show who's, like, a scientist. And it's like the driest woman you'll ever meet in your life, you know? You're just like, who is this?
You're thinking of Dana Scully style, another science versus faith dynamic?
No, gosh, what am I? I don't know. Just like when sometimes like you cast a woman as like, she's the scientist or she's the one that like is in charge and keeps things on track. She's almost like always really, really boring or really like inhuman or something like that.
Yeah.
And watching Jodie Foster, I was like, oh my gosh, she finally, like, someone pulled this off of being extremely technical and smart and, like, very good at that stuff and also being so human and, like, vulnerable and having this full life. And, like, I was so interested in her and, like, what she was thinking and what this character was going through.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I thought that was cool.
Yeah. I mean, you learn... I would argue maybe a bit too much about her backstory.
Yeah.
Because for me, she makes 3 or 4 attempts before you meet the billionaire. And I'm like, if it's like 4 years later, another attempt. Maybe just say there's been several attempts.
Yeah.
And
it's
save
been
us
so
a half
many
hour.
Years. Yeah. And she was based on a real scientist who also had lost her father when she was young. And
Carla
was also. Carla Sagan.
Carla Sagan.
Yeah, and Jodie, I guess, spent a lot of time with her, and I was like, I wonder why that's why also like this character feels so like full and vibrant and cool. Because when you meet like an actual scientist or a woman like that who is like good at conveying these things and is talking about big picture stuff, like they're fascinating to talk to, you know? And it feels like in shows and TV, they're always so flat. So that was nice to see.
I liked, and I would imagine it was Jodie Foster's choice because she seems like a very cool person. But in the big scene where she's clearly supposed to be stunning the room in her dress.
In her amazing dress.
And McConaughey is like boy-yo-yo-yoing when he sees her.
I like that.
The dress is
coming out of Phantom of the Opera.
Dress is real modest.
It was
real
weird.
Modest.
And the big curly hair like out of nowhere. It was strange. But hey, go off.
I was her she's all that coming down the staircase moment for some reason. Why was this in the movie?
Hermione at the Christmas ball.
Yeah. 2.5 hour movie where it's like, we need a Hermione at the Christmas ball moment somewhere in here.
Well, probably it was some executive who's like, I don't want to fuck this character,
Robert. Exactly. I think so.
Yeesh.
I was also reading that they were like debating about giving her like a teenage son she was estranged from. And then they were debating like just making her pregnant at the end of the movie.
Why would I care about her if she's not a mom?
Yeah, and that like, but how does she become a mom or think about being mom? You know, and I'm so glad they like saved us from the whole like mom thing.
Yeah,
for this character,
an outro monologue of like, and it looks like a new life's about to make contact of his own in a few short months.
She just touches
or whatever
her stomach, looking out the Grand Canyon.
Yeah,
yeah.
That'd be sick. And we get a mainstay of 90s and 2000s movies, which is. This event that's happened is so big that there's been extraterrestrial life making contact that Jay Leno's talking about it on his monologue.
Always.
And an Elvis impersonator came out.
Yeah. Oh, the Jake Busey thing is real stupid in this movie.
Jake Busey plays a sort of religious terrorist.
And it's like
fanatic.
The guy looks like a 7-foot-tall albino
monster.
Mutant.
Scary.
You don't need to cut to him 40 times so we remember him later. We'll remember him.
I clocked him.
Yeah. And then the John Hurt scene that I texted you about, Kevin, is that after we have seen all these attempts Jodie Foster has made to make contact, then she finally meets John Hurt. And he's got a slideshow of her life prepared.
Because he is the mysterious secret benefactor that's funding
Elon
the
Musk.
Whole operation.
Yeah. And he clicks through a slideshow of her life, and he's like, so it seems you had issues when your father died at your young age. Then later you tried to... And he tells us exactly what we have just
the movie.
Watched.
They showed clips of the movie.
Minute 19. That was interesting.
It's like in Spaceballs, and they're just fast-forwarding through the movie we've just watched.
You seem to have more chemistry with William Finkter than with Matthew McConaughey.
And yet you went to bed with McConaughey.
You do you,
bizarre.
Girl.
It was so weird and so long, and I'm like, we don't need a recap an hour into the movie.
Yeah, just like get the money injection to keep the story moving. Yeah, that was really weird, because in... Like, I just watched this, and, you know, as I'm watching, I was like, I guess this guy is really important and evil. Now I'm thinking, like, he wasn't evil ultimately, I guess. He just sort of, like, helped along with progress and then was just a crazy character they brought into this otherwise, like, pretty normal movie.
All we needed him for was to fund the excursion.
Just one time.
There's two space stations, actually.
Yeah. Then he's like, there's another one where he's getting cancer treatments in space.
Yeah, we found out about his death.
Yeah, he had space cancer.
Space
damn.
This movie had a lot to say.
I mean, look, I saw cuts.
I saw some fat that could be trimmed.
As a two-hour movie.
I saw some softies that could have gone.
Yeah. I mean, on Letterboxd, I noticed that this ranges from 1 star to 5.
Amongst friends.
I just mean usually when you look at like your friends, a lot of, it generally the
there's a friend trend.
There tends to be a trend.
Sure.
This was really all over the place, and the people that hated it despised it, and the people that loved it loved it. I saw it in theaters. I didn't remember it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool. Mm. But I also get why people don't get into it. It feels like kind of a bad West Wing half the time. Maybe that's Rob Lowe.
Well, that's the Rob Lowe of it all. And the fact that it cannot be stressed enough how much Bill Clinton plays a part in this
movie. He's the sixth lead.
And Hitler.
Oh yeah, Hitler
you
and
can't forget about Hitler.
Why did they make the aliens' first transmission?
Hitler.
And then in one line, they're like, "Oh, it's probably not a hate speech thing." I'm like, "Are we sure?" Because if
why
aliens,
did we bring it up then?
If aliens sent a video of Hitler, I'd be like, "We gonna die?"
Yeah, I'd be like, "That seems to be intentional."
Yeah, it's actually an awesome start to an Independence Day type movie. But not this.
Hitler.
They see Hitler and she goes, "It must mean that they're
fine."
Nice.
It's actually just sort of an inside baseball thing about transmission.
All the
like,
scientists
are
have
we
to
sure?
be Hitler apologists and be like, "Well, they didn't mean
this speech wasn't bad. It was all about sports."
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Evidently, according to some of the, you know, half-baked research, they wanted Zemeckis wanted Sidney Poitier to play the president in the movie.
Poitier.
Remember Poitier's song, Somebody I Used to Know?
I do.
Now, guess who's somebody's coming that I used to know?
Why did Goyer have not, well, you don't need to get off on a Goyer tangent, but yeah. One song? And what a song. I heard that song on the radio. Usually I get sick of a big radio pop song after like five listens. Mm-hmm. I heard it a million times and loved it just as much.
Part of our DNA.
It's an incredible song.
And Gen Z would say, "Oh yeah, I remember when I was in diapers listening to that song."
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
So they didn't get Poitier for the president role. So instead they said, "You know what? Real president. It's going to be Bill Clinton." And so much of a speech that Clinton for real gave about some mission to Mars that was happening in the 90s. They just used so much of that speech and repurposed it for this to be about actually making contact. But then they have to keep it all the way through the movie where a lot of it does take place in the White House. And it did not need to.
No.
They could have taken it off site.
Well, then if you look it up on Wikipedia, a big section of the Wikipedia page is the Bill Clinton controversy.
Which
because
was
he
what?
Was furious. He didn't want them using this speech and like making him a character in the movie. But Warner Brothers was like, "Dude, we sent you a copy of the film on this date. You said it was cool."
Oh.
So now I'd hate to suggest that Bill Clinton lies, but something went on there.
No, I can't always read papers.
Tell me it. I can't get enough papers.
Papers are my thing.
That's my favorite thing to do.
Now you said what brought us to Gautier? Oh, Poitier.
Poitier.
Yeah.
Now
Poitier.
So another little backstory on this that I always find interesting, that what could have been in terms of casting and director, is that they were also making this movie with George Miller for a very long time, the Mad Max director.
He of Fury Road and Witches of Eastwick.
Correct. And they eventually fired him. But he had Linda Hunt as the president, the 4 foot tall woman.
That would have been cool.
From other movies that George Miller has
made. Yeah.
But yeah, like he was far down the line and had it cast and stuff, and they threw him off. And Zemeckis said, "I'll do it if I have Final Cut," which
he sure did.
He did, yes.
Did you guys read the same Wikipedia page I read that George Miller wanted the Pope to be a big part of the movie?
Yeah, he wanted to cast
the Pope.
Can
you imagine how long that movie would have been?
I know.
We got to do Pope time.
Yeah.
Cut from Hitler apologizing to, but what does the Pope
Clinton
think about all
and
this?
And Pope and Hitler?
Plus,
okay,
if you
this
get
is
one
my
Pope,
Avengers.
If you get Avengers one Pope assemble. In a movie, you're going to want those two Popes.
You're gonna, I mean,
yeah, you can't just do one Pope.
It's like having one M. No, I want M and M's.
Yes.
I don't want M. What the fuck?
Have you guys done the two Popes?
Oh, we did the two Popes first week of lockdown, I think.
Okay. By the way,
Lisa Gilroy.
What happened? I go, "Oh, I want to do Doubt. I was raised Catholic. I would love to do Doubt. I own it." And then you wrote back, "We've chosen content."
Oh, Caroline chose content.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know I was an override vote.
Well, no, I just wanted to see what you did.
All good. It's
no,
all
Doubt
good.
Wrote, no, we'll do that in 6 years from now when you come back.
Okay. Oh, no, I actually really love
have
Doubt.
Have you seen Doubt?
No.
Doubt's fucking good.
It's I love excellent, Doubt. Mm-hmm. Excellent movie.
Is it a molesty movie?
Well,
it is. Or it's up to you.
I mean, that's not why I love it.
That's why when I saw the trailer, I was like,
I had to go to my letterbox list.
Am I feeling molesty this week? Not really. I would say never, almost. Let's do Contact.
George Miller had Jodie Foster, approached Ralph Fiennes to play Palmer Joss. This is obviously he was sexy off Schindler's List.
Sure.
Right. He had the
connection.
Linda Hunt as president. He had the aliens put on a laser light show around Earth.
That would have been cool.
And like the Pope, World of Color at Disneyland or something.
And the Pope as a key supporting character. Oh, yes, correct.
Two popes.
Man.
And crazy. The Pope's wife. Got to know her story.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, the Pope, no, you cannot go out.
You cannot go out.
I made a spaghetti.
You cannot talk to the aliens.
So the faith conflict of this movie is that there's all this jockeying of like, oh, it turns out they gave us a schematic to make a machine to go somewhere. We don't know. But they want us to make this contraption that, you know, might send us to another dimension or portal or whatever. And then it's a sort of weird election process of like, here's 10 candidates that maybe should go into space. One of them is, you know, kind of evil Tom Skerritt guy. Obviously, Jodie Foster is one of them.
We saw a lot of this process.
Yeah.
We saw a lot of it. But it wasn't interesting. Like, I thought, why not make that the movie? Like, the right stuff. Decide who gets to go. That could be a good start of the movie. Mm-hmm.
Rocket Man was a great movie because that's what they did for most
Harlan
of it.
Harlan Williams.
That Simpsons episode with Barney, you know.
That's so funny.
But, yeah, it's like they don't do enough, but they also do too much.
Yeah.
And then Skerritt pretends to be religious despite having no real claim to anything. He's like,
pandering.
As a very devout man. Then they let him go.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, no, they don't let him go.
Oh, I know. Well, I didn't know if you wanted to tell what happens.
Spoil the movie?
But they allow him to go.
Oh, I thought you meant they let him go as in they fire him.
No.
He got laid off.
Let him go to space.
Space Force.
Yes.
So the religious conflict of the movie is during these congressional or Senate hearings or like international
worldwide hearings.
Yeah, worldwide hearings. Jodie Foster's on the stand, and McConaughey, hot priest, 97 edition.
Hot priest!
Hot off that steamy Washington Monument kiss have.
Where she's like pretending to nut.
I think somebody's got a boner in that scene.
He's giving me a reflection
pool. It wasn't me,
and
it wasn't McConaughey.
And so one of his questions, because they're asking her, like, what would you say to the aliens? Would you be nice to them?
Yeah.
And then McConaughey says, like, do you believe in God? And he kind of makes that the bread and butter of, like,
gotcha her.
Because according to the movie's dialogue, 95% of the country believes in God.
God. Yeah. One God.
That couldn't have been true then.
No.
And it ain't true now.
Not true.
It's a Facebook article my mom found that said that. Right. You know, and then Robert Zemeckis used it in a movie.
Yeah.
And the idea that there's like such a singular definition of God around the world and
Jesus,
not an extremely
Christian
broad
God
concept.
God.
Wait, they don't say a God in this movie?
They say God.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. That's insane.
It's insane.
And that's why
she gets disqualified too. Yeah. I thought that was weird too because like, you're supposed to think that this is some sort of international, you know, secular thing for the most part.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, all the panel was like, oh, well, if she doesn't believe in God, like all of us do, because nine out of ten of us here do.
We'll be praying for you, except for that guy.
We can't. Like, it would make sense if that was some kind of weird, like, just the United States, some sort of congressional kangaroo court. But it was really, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So Rob Lowe was heading up. That would make sense for his character.
Yeah, yeah, but they're like, oh, we can't send you to represent us because this is like one of the things that we hold most dear as a human race.
Christianity.
Because you won't tell them about the love of Jesus Christ.
And then it winds up, once she gets there, not factoring in at all.
Not at all.
So what ends up happening is Jake Busey blows up the first kind of test mission that Skerritt goes on, killing him.
It was so goofy.
Just truly, you know, we talk about CGI versus practical effects. There's really no better practical effect than
you cast
Busey's
Busey,
face
baby.
In 1997.
Yeah.
So they get all blowed up. And I think that congressional hearing is meant to be like the first one. And then the mirror of it is the one at the end. Because in the first one, she says like, why is this relevant? I can't prove God, so then why would it matter if I believe in God or not?
Yeah, and she also is like vague. She's like, there isn't data either way.
Yeah.
You know? Which I feel like was like a pretty safe answer.
Yeah. Fair.
They were like, tisk, tisk. Okay,
and then
anyway.
Skerritt blows up, and then John Hurt, Elon Musk, is like, there was a second
surprise.
One the whole time.
I'm back.
Come to Japan, my lady. Yeah. So
I'm on the, and he's on the space station now because it saves him from
space
cancer.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He's with the Russians. Whatever.
So she goes on.
Oh.
He's sipping a tea.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay.
A little hamming
Sorry,
it up.
Sorry, keep going, yeah. Kevin.
Oh, and then he gets to the space station, goes on the mission. She's recording it. She's got a GoPro. She's on Instagram Live the whole time.
Yeah.
Goes through several wormholes, eventually gets to an alien planet that you could call a screensaver.
Beautiful screensaver.
Very saturated to fuck, like up to the 120%.
Yeah. Another fun fact, Peter Jackson worked on the special effects for this film because Zemeckis produced The Frighteners.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so he's like, I'll help you out.
So,
but he did a bad job.
They convey her to the space. And then it's supposed to be like, I guess any being they bring there, they give them like a friendly environment so they're not like as freaked out, even though they just shot them through a wormhole for like a long time.
So what's the friendliest thing you could possibly see that's not at all traumatizing? Your dead daddy.
Your dead dad.
Your dead dad.
And you think David it's going to be some other kind of alien being, and it slowly like comes into focus that it's her dad.
Yeah.
But then like... So then you're like, oh, this is a Christian movie about heaven being real. And
it
like,
kind of feels
you
like
you meet
that.
The dead and whatever, and they lived on. And then it's like, no, I'm an alien. I'm just looking like your dad for you. But then he touches her a lot like her dad would.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He keeps like caressing her face and like kissing her. I'm like,
I can't
so
help
familiar
wonder,
for an alien
more
overlord.
Than McConaughey.
I was like, are they
pretty much anyone Jodie Foster speaks to in the movie has more chemistry than her and McConaughey.
I want her and James Woods to hook up.
Yeah.
What a fun banter.
Her and Angela Bassett.
James Woods was going to Jenna Malone, is
oh,
my
unfortunately.
Guess.
Yeah. He's very good in the movie, which is...
James Woods is always great.
Yeah.
Casino, I mean, there's no better sleaze in movie history than Casino James Woods.
Ooh, piece of candy.
The alien dad lays out the facts. He's like, here's what's happening. We have been doing this for billions of years. Lots of beings come to this very spot and we just kind of like chat for a second and then we send you on your way for another million years. That's kind of like what he lays out. Mm-hmm. But it's like sweeter.
And we're really nice.
We're
Don't
nice.
Don't worry. The
vibes we're all in
are
this
good.
Together.
Yeah.
And she's like totally happy and like in another level of ecstasy.
And then she goes back and then it turns out like only 8 seconds have elapsed or whatever.
And don't worry, we'll dive deep into that with all Congress again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We'll get the big debrief.
Whenever they're firing up.
Yeah, because I was like, what does Congress think about this?
Whenever they're firing up another hearing at the 2:15 mark, it's like, no, guys.
After 2 hours?
No.
The structure of this was a little lopsided, perhaps, in parts. But then this is when the sort of faith and science of it all, the confrontation happens, where they're all like, you're bullshitting us. You didn't go anywhere. We have, you know, we all, 42 cameras captured the same thing. You just fell for 8 seconds. And she's like, I can't explain it. I know I can't explain it, but there was something that happened. And then I think the idea is like, wait, I can't explain this the way that Christians can't explain their faith.
Yes.
Right.
We have the same thing in common. And then, what is the line? I was looking up the script for it because it was so interesting. She said, I had an experience. I can't prove it. I can't even explain it. All I can tell you is that everything I know as a human being, everything I am tells me that it was real. The room grows quiet. I was given something wonderful, something that changed me.
And then James
Woods
goes,
the love of Jesus Christ.
Sound like anything familiar?
Like God!
Uh-huh.
A vision of the universe that made it overwhelmingly clear just how tiny and insignificant at the same time how rare and precious we all are. A vision that tells us we belong to something greater than ourselves, that we're not, none of us is alone. I wish I could share it. I wish for everyone, if only for a moment, could feel that sense of awe and humility. And it sounds like proselytizing. It sounds like evangelical. If you only knew the love I knew.
Feel what I feel.
And felt what I felt, then you would love and worship the same thing.
But it's also like deeply secular too, because what she's talking about is like, we are not alone literally.
Right.
There are other just like species out there, and that makes me feel better as a human being that we are not alone on this planet.
Yes.
So it's like, it's kind of a beautiful marriage of her scientific life and the idea that like there is something kind of magical about how big the universe is, but it's still very grounded in reality.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't something she made up or that is like open to interpretation. This happened to her, you know?
She can't scientifically prove that God is real. She can understand it better by the end of the movie.
But I don't even think she's talking about God.
No, but the viewer is definitely meant to think about God, I think.
I don't think so.
Really?
No? I think the viewer is meant to think like, oh, you know, maybe some people call this God or whatever,
right.
But like actually what's even more magnificent than a vague idea of God is space and like the grandeur of that and the fact that there could be all these beings and that we still want to connect with each other and not destroy each other.
And it's
like
very,
that's Carl Sagan. That's their writing, you know,
right,
like it's
right.
still very atheistic.
Is
it's
he
not
an atheist,
like
Carl Sagan?
I think so. Yeah. Right.
No, he was a Scientologist.
Anyway, it was like, that's the point. It's not like, oh, there was a greater being orchestrating these aliens coming together.
Yeah.
Right.
The aliens coordinated meeting the humans. Like, so it's still a very like non-religious, but like a magical experience regardless. You know what I mean?
But the thing I got from the end of it that might be similar to you is more like, hey, we're all calling it the same thing. We're all climbing different sides of the same mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the way McConaughey says, as a person of faith, which is funny, it's like as a woman of color or something.
Yeah.
As a person of faith, I am bound by a different covenant than Dr. Arroway, but I believe our goal is one of the same, the pursuit of truth. And I think today, Dr. Arroway continued that pursuit under the most trying of circumstances.
Yeah. The one thing that I do think tips this a little bit into spirituality is how often her life is saved by like chance little miracle things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like she should have been destroyed by the suicide bomber.
Right, right, right.
When her chair like crushed against the capsule, she was only not in it because she like grabbed the necklace that was floating in front of her.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, maybe there is a little bit of a dance of like something's intervening to get her to where she needs to be.
I think really I agree with you. I think that the point that I took it was like we have and it's maybe it's just because it's relevant to today and we'll never get there again. But both sides have to give a little.
Yeah.
And in order to understand your fellow man.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And that's not happening at all anymore. Mm-hmm. In any discussion, forget religion, but politics, human beings, etc.
Yeah, like the more beautiful thing than even just like God exists or aliens exist.
Yeah.
Is like people uniting in their very different but similar quest for truth and connection.
Yeah, I totally, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, anything else before we rate this movie that we've been talking about for a little bit?
Can we go to Pensacola?
Is that where the screensaver was?
Yeah. That beautiful white sand
and
beach.
Pensacola.
Yeah.
There were two footprints. They were hobbit-looking feet because of Peter Jackson doing the effects.
What did you think of Jodie Foster when she first sees it? Sometimes just people expressing emotion makes me deeply uncomfortable. That might have been what I was experiencing.
It felt like someone doing a drug for a first time. And it was like, oh.
That's probably
you know
how they told her to play it.
Yeah.
But Jodie Foster's probably like, I ain't never done drugs.
She probably hasn't.
I don't think
she'd
she
probably
has.
Get mad at you if you suggested she has.
Yeah, exactly.
She got very, I mean, I'll say it, spacey. She did get spacey. Mm-hmm.
Kevin style.
I wouldn't say.
It was cool, too, because it's like the first time in the movie she like loses control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
I'm softening on it because of how memorably strange her reaction was.
Yeah.
And I like when, and I can't sit here and complain about how boring the other actors were.
Yeah.
And then criticize her for going nuts in that moment because you're supposed to go nuts when you see something like that for the first time.
Yeah, you went through a wormhole.
That's true.
This feels like it would be the perfect TNT movie like 10 years ago where it's like scrolling through channels.
Oh, Contact was a new classic on TNT.
Yeah.
And it was on once a week.
Mm-hmm.
TNT used to do new classics.
Oh, it was literally called New Classics? Yeah.
It's Contact Week here at TNT.
Yeah, they would show it over and over and over. Shawshank Redemption
That, Shawshank, Green Mile, probably.
Oh, for sure.
Ocean's 11, whatever the case may be.
Green Mile with commercials.
Yeah.
Clear
Take
your
a breather
weekend.
After that guy gets electrocuted to with the dry sponge or whatever. Gracious.
That movie is also a religious allegory, Green Mile.
Very
you guys done
so.
That one?
Yeah, because like the piss problems that he has. That's like turning water to wine.
That's right. I remember absolutely loving The Green Mile. I don't know if it would hold up, but I loved it at the time.
Good score. I like the score in that movie.
Okay, okay.
We have not done Green Mile.
It's a good one.
Again, 6 years from now, we're going to do it.
I'll be back. Yeah. Or I'll be dead, one or the other.
No. Okay. The way this works, we're going to rate the movie now. Going to give it a holy toast, holy roast, or space between holy toast. We give it a thumbs up. We like it, and we say... Holy Roast, that's when we send it. Or we send it to purgatory. Not quite this, not quite that. We send it to
the space between.
The space between.
The space between.
You're not thinking about the space between, Governor. The
space between.
I did not have sex with the space between her titties.
Oh,
what?
No.
What?
Just crude.
I'm sorry.
Just crass.
Yeah, we didn't mean to make it boob forward on this episode.
In front of blue. A Paddington picture.
I think that's what increases the judgment and conviction for me.
Yeah.
And his grandma.
That's his aunt.
And whoa. His aunt.
Sorry.
Whoa. One of those fringe aunts.
I'm scared.
That's like when I got mad at Jossie for not knowing the dog in Garfield's name. I was like, it's Odie.
Odie.
It's literally.
Yelled it.
Do you know the other cat?
Nermal.
All right. Just checking.
I don't like the name Nermal.
Nobody does.
Okay.
Well, this is not Nermal. That's a podcast I want to start. All right.
Abnormal.
Nermal people.
Nermal people. Do you think I'm ugly, Nermal? It's just Paul Mescal trying to romance a gray cat in Abu Dhabi. We start with Caroline.
Abu Dhabi do.
I'm going to give it a toast. I mean, upon reflection, there was quite a lot going on in this movie that didn't need to be happening. But I didn't notice while I was watching because I was so interested in what was going to happen and Jodie and everything that Dr. Arroway was going to accomplish in her many years that we got to see her be alive. So many. I thought that was pretty cool. And yeah, it was like a nice marriage of science and splendor. So just for me.
All right, we turn it to Patrick.
I think I have my arm is a little lower on the toast than you, but fine. I did enjoy it too. I sort of enjoyed how just square it was. Like it's just a square, lame, kind of nerdy almost, not even almost.
Movie. I hope you describe your friends like this too. I love how square my
it's hated. Just like like we talked about the complete lack of, and every movie doesn't need sexuality in it or something, but there's not much of a pulse to it. That's what kind of bothers me until the end. And I would cut a half hour, but these are movie criticisms, not like, you know, what we're talking about here. I think as an exploration of faith, science, etc., it's fantastic. And I'm surprised it got made. It's the kind of movie that only gets made when you have somebody that powerful. Or you do it on a super low budget.
That Gump clout.
Yeah. Got that Gump
the
bump.
Years.
The Gump bump.
Gump bump.
Oh, they all got the Gump bump. I will give it a toast as well. I enjoyed this way more the second time than I did the first time. Because I think I was just here for the cavalcade of slightly miss or underused character actors and the sincerity of it. To your point,
yeah,
it is a movie that is not at all concerned with being cool.
Yeah.
And it feels like the movie Jodie Foster's character would make about these events of like,
yeah,
well, no, that's what happened. So I'm just going to do that.
Yeah.
And there's no other play for anything else. And, you know, good on him for doing something a little headier, a little more substantive after cashing in that Gump bump. So
this was also, you know, coming on the heels of Independence Day.
That's right.
So
same
it's
year,
like,
97, or is Independence 96?
Independence Day, I believe, is 96. I wouldn't swear to it, but I'm
90% on it.
Just like there's 95% certainty that God is real in America, I'm 95% sure about this. And yeah, it was, and Mars Attacks and all that. And this is the flip side. I must say I prefer both Independence Day and Mars Attacks.
Sure.
But in terms of giving you something to chew about after, I love it. I love it when a movie does this, when a movie gives you stuff to think about. How rare is that now? It's almost never happens.
Yeah.
So.
What happened with me the other night with a movie called Past Lives?
I like that movie.
Did you see it? Yeah.
Yeah, I cried.
Me too.
Yeah.
What's also funny, the one other thing I wanted to say about this movie, that someone's unlocking to like a faith experience is purely anecdotal, which feels so true to life in the sense of,
yep,
it always has to be a direct relationship of like, I hate people. Well, your son's gay. Well, I love gay people now.
Yeah.
Or it has to be you experience it. You cannot conceive or fathom. So for her, there is that sort of what we were talking about of like, faith, I don't know, who cares, whatever. And then it seems like she gets a little unlocked from that at the end of like, well, I saw my oversaturated papa on a Peter Jackson beach. So I guess Jesus could be real. Sure. Whatever. Yeah. Why not? And it kind of speaks to the sort of, I don't know, like blinders or I don't know how to put it, like the subjectivity of so much of this stuff.
Yeah.
You can't conceive of it until it happens to you. Then it's like, oh, my world's wide open. But until that happens, it's very hard to actually have empathy or compassion for that sort of perspective.
Yeah. And you never hear this movie mentioned. Yeah. Like when you brought it up, I was like, oh, wow, yeah. But you never hear it mentioned. I don't know why, but when you look at Interstellar or you look at like Donnie Darko with the wormholes and stuff, I think this movie meant a lot to a lot of people.
It was the Donnie Darko of 1997.
Yes.
We can all agree. All right. And now we're going to take it down a little bit. Take it to a more worshipful space, a quieter space. We're to come before the Lord in all of our softness and splendor. Patrick, on other shows, on your own podcast, you might plug yourself and all the projects you got going on. We're not here to do that. Okay. We're here to lift those things up to the Lord by plugging them and promoting them, but saying it's for God. And something also that you're enjoying in the secular culture, the last great thing that you watched, that you saw, that you read, that you listened to,
Okay. Whatever
the case may be. And we'll start with Caroline.
Something I'm always putting in God's hands is my Instagram, TikTok, and Letterboxd. All of Caroline's farts. Not sure what I'm going to write about.
About this one?
About this one on Letterboxd. So stay tuned with bated breath. And
with beta breath?
With beta breath.
Why did you look at me when you said with beta breath?
Well, I'm guessing you can't do the other kind.
All right.
What does beta breath sound like?
Sorry. fuck, I'm sorry. Is this okay?
That's cuck breath, I think.
I watched John Early's new special on
Bonnie.
Max the other night. Yeah, it was so funny. So I'm going to lift that up. If you know, you know. But if you didn't know, go watch John Early's special. It's great.
All right, thank you, Caroline. We turn to Patrick.
It's awkward, Lord, but I have to lift up a podcast called We'll See You in Hell to you. But
not
that is,
I'll see you in hell. We'll see you in hell.
We'll see you in hell. We'll it is me and my dear friend Joe DeRosa. In theory, it's a podcast where we discuss movies, but it's usually just us riffing and laughing and having fun. It is now Patreon only, but there's episodes on iTunes as well.
Patreon.com/ We'll See You in Hell?
Yep. Okay. Easy to find. Just Google We'll See You in Hell.
But and there's no apostrophe. Because you can't do an apostrophe in
good point. Good point.
Know? So just people are on the lookout.
Then call it Well See You In Hell. Well See You In Hell.
Well,
but no comma either. I thought Past Lives was great as well. I'll raise that on up. And there you go.
Good job.
Just saw it, liked it a lot. And No Hard Feelings is two acts of a great movie.
Ooh. That's a comedy thing, right? The third act
all,
so
it's all
like,
I didn't take it personally at all. The end
I'm
of
glad
Wedding Crashers.
You didn't take it personally.
The end of Wedding Crashers, for God's sake. Like, the end of the big comedies is always a mess. They never know how to end.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to raise up comedy at this time because it seems to be disappearing. And it felt good to hear an audience laugh.
That's not true. You can catch a lot of comedy on Roku now. Roku City, the mayor of Roku City, which we've all been to Roku City, right?
Yeah.
The mayor he loves comedy.
Really?
And that's why he's like letting so many people do their thing.
You know what the biggest show on Roku is?
What's that?
Two Broke Girls. Bigger than everything they have.
Hey, congrats.
Yeah. And hopefully that means some residuals in my pocket, Lord.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Roku.
Broken in the cash.
Okay. Yeah,
there you go. There you go.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Gracious. Well, you can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. Peloton, Instagram, Letterboxd, OnlyFans. Blue Sky.
You doing OnlyFans?
Yeah.
What do you do? Jack shows?
Yeah.
Shows nip. That's it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, listen, I'll say to you what I say to everyone. You have to subscribe to find out.
Yeah.
what?
Looks so bad. What's Blue Sky?
Blue Sky is like quieter Twitter. Karen Hahn invited me, and it's nice.
Okay.
It's almost like having an alt if you don't want to have an alt.
I'll join.
Yeah. Well, you have to have an invite. I think I can invite you, though.
Invite me.
Yeah. That's why I said Karen Hahn invited me. She didn't just say, come on. She like gave me a code
okay, gotcha.
That I needed
yeah.
to join it. And I'll freaking lift up Jenny Lewis's new album, Joy Y'all. Joy Y'all.
Love almost everything she's done.
Except for that?
Found it dull.
Really?
But I have had a headache for 4 days. That might contribute.
It's more vibey and less full sounding than a lot of her other
stuff. Less melodies, less catchy.
Less fun, less good.
Those are my issues. Yeah.
No, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I've been vibing out on it. It's a good soundtrack for pumping iron. It's a great soundtrack.
That it's definitely not.
For when you're on the Peloton.
Yeah.
Or maybe getting cozy with your person. Put on a little Joy Y'all. Isn't that nice? You can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. Patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun. And you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And every review you leave, we donate $1 to charity. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Thank you both.
Let's not make it another 5 years until you're back on.
Back.
Make it 3 or 4.
Okay. At least. Turn it down to 3.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
2 or 3. Yeah. Like whenever there's a new president or.
New president in a movie.
Yeah. In a movie. Yeah, that's right.
You guys think they'll do Biden in movies? Like do Biden clips?
Oh, boy. What do you know?
Yeah. He'll sign it.
And there's nothing left to say except for. Okay.
I love you, Emma.
Amen. Now watch this drive. And we're going to close out with the song that is kind of the CCM apotheosis of the, you know, little green men and creatures coming down. Fuck, I should just. Hang on. Caroline, fill for time.
Holly Hunter and.
All right, take it to your leader by Newsboys. Aliens and Christian stuff too. Isn't that fun? And we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye. That was a HeadGum Podcast.